Students mobilize after Florida massacre.
I can't think about anything now except change.
Suspects' troubled past.
When people were being targeted, they could have done more.
Possible plea deal in Russia probe.
That puts enormous pressure on Manafort.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Simmons Beauty Rest.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. Students who survived the mass shooting at their Florida high school last week are stepping up the push for action on guns and mental health. Marches are planned for this week in Tallahassee and next month in Washington, D.C., says Alex Wind, a junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
We will be marching for the 17 we lost at our school. We will be marching for everyone we lost at the Newtown Sandy Hook shooting, at Columbine, at Virginia Tech, in San Bernardino, Orlando, at the Pulse shooting, and at Las Vegas.
I'm Peter King. About 100 students will march Wednesday in Tallahassee demanding changes to the state's mental health and gun laws. Senior Chris Grady says they want to make sure that 17 classmates and teachers did not die in vain.
With the Never Again movement, it's how they live on.
Classmate Diego Pfeiffer is 18. Part of the next generation of voters. His message to lawmakers?
Let your actions be your words. Don't just say something, do something about it.
Or prepare to find new jobs. Peter King, CBS News, Parkland, Florida.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford says he's not in favor of an assault weapons ban, but isn't opposed to some kind of action.
I have no issue with more extensive background checks. I have no issue with slowing down purchases for people that show all the basic warning signs.
In the days since last week's massacre, we've learned more about the suspect, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, and the fact that signs of trouble were all around. Here's CBS's Manuel Bohorquez.
In September 2016, Nicholas Cruz and his mother, Linda, received a visit from Florida's Department of Children and Families after allegations of medical neglect. The investigator learned Cruz suffered from depression, ADHD, and autism, cut his arms in a Snapchat post, and once plastered a racist message on his backpack. Cruz even said he plans to go out and buy a gun. DCF closed the investigation 6 weeks later after finding no evidence Cruz was being mistreated. In a statement, the DCF secretary said mental health services and supports were in place when this investigation closed.
I'm Jim Crisula. Nicholas Cruz was constantly in trouble for insulting teachers and staff, disruptive behavior, unexcused absences, and at least one fight when he was in middle school. Records from the Department of Children and Family Services show his mother was called in for more than a dozen school conferences, and Cruz was frequently sent to counseling.
Well, Kimberly Sneed says we have this monster living under our roof, and we didn't know it. She and her husband James took Cruz in, and he tells ABC's Good Morning America.
Everything everybody seems to know, we didn't know. We had rules, and he followed every rule to the T.
Well, from his Florida estate, President Trump unleashed a tweet storm critical of the Russia investigation over the weekend, and we're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Tweeting after 11 p.m. Saturday, the president said it was, quote, very sad that the FBI missed all of the many signals sent out by the Florida school shooter. They are spending too much time, he said, trying to prove Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. That line displeased some of the president's own political allies, including Republican Senator Tim Scott and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
They are two separate issues. The president should be staying out of law enforcement business.
Mr. Trump has said the continued focus on Russian election meddling has been bad for the country. But in Germany this weekend, his national security adviser, H.R. McMaster, hailed last week's indictments.
The evidence is now really incontrovertible.
Mr. Trump shot back, tweeting McMaster forgot to say that the results of the election were not impacted by Russia's efforts. Steve?
Well, CBS's Paula Reed tells us a key figure in the Russia investigation who's already been indicted may be willing to cooperate.
Richard Gates is expected to enter a plea deal with special counsel Robert Mueller as soon as this week. Now, Gates currently faces a dozen charges, including conspiracy, money laundering, failure to file his banking and financial accounts, and also several charges related to failing to register as a foreign lobbyist.
In a bid to stop Russian election meddling, Facebook's going old school. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
Starting with the midterm elections, the social media giant will mail postcards to anyone seeking to buy political ads to confirm that the buyers actually live in the U.S. Facebook admits some 3,000 Russian-linked ads were bought before and after the presidential election, but Robert Mueller's indictments charge the Kremlin also had agents in the U.S. and that it paid Americans to hold up signs at rallies. The new policy likely won't end those practices. Steve?
Well, the most recent voyage of the Carnival Legend was legendary for all the wrong reasons. Some captured it on cell phones, a large brawl before the cruise ship arrived in port in Australia over the weekend.
Ruined everyone's trip and ruined my honeymoon, so, you know, it was terrible.
And passengers say a large family punched and fought with other passengers over 3 days. Well, there's controversy over a doping charge at the Winter Games. We're live in South Korea with CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Steve, before the Olympics began, the International Olympic Committee considered banning all Russian athletes because of long-standing allegations of state-sponsored doping. The first major doping case here in Pyeongchang involves a Russian, Alexander Krushelnitsky. He won a bronze in curling. That medal, though, could be taken away. A sample given by Krushelnitsky tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. Olympic historian David Walachinsky.
The drug that appears to have been involved in this case was heavily used by Russian athletes for a long time.
Including Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova. She received a 15-month ban because of that. As for the competition here, the U.S. women's hockey team assured itself of a gold or silver medal today by beating Finland and advancing to Thursday's gold medal match. Live at the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
At the NBA All-Star Game, LeBron James was MVP, but some people never got past the national anthem. The singer Fergie's interpretation, a slow bluesy rendition, became a target on social media. Some loved it, but critics were merciless. A much-anticipated movie did not disappoint at the weekend box office. CBS's Jim Taylor has more on the superhero flick Black Panther.
Feverish anticipation, fawning critical acclaim, groundbreaking cultural meaning, pushing this flick to not just the number one movie of the week, it's the best February debut ever, fifth best opening of all time.
My son, it is your time. You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be.
Black Panther, a $192 million box office takeaway this three-day weekend.
At the British Academy Film Awards, three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri took best picture.
You read Welby?
Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?
I hear those three billboards out on Drinkwater Road.
The film star, Frances McDormand, won Best Actress. Gary Oldman won Best Actor for his Winston Churchill portrayal in Darkest Hour. Best Director, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.